You're with us for a caller-only hour here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're recalling some of our shows about politics this summer, and now we want to hear about what shows you want us to put together in the coming weeks and months. What's on your mind? What do you want to learn more about? What are your burning questions about government and politics here in Wisconsin? What do you think should be getting more attention before the November general election? Join in now on this caller-only hour. The number is 800-642-1234. We'll take down your idea. Also, email ideas at WPR.org. You can tweet us at WPR Morning. So early in June, Republican State Senator Patrick Teston of Stevens Point was here on the show talking about policing the coronavirus and unemployment. We asked him if the legislature would likely take votes anytime soon.
It's certainly possible. So as you remember, the assembly wrapped up their regular session back in February, and the Senate was supposed to convene in early March. However, because of the pandemic, we weren't able to meet. As I've reiterated to my leadership, is that we need to be nimble and flexible moving forward if we have to take up more legislation as it relates to COVID-19. And in conversations I've had with the Senate Majority Leader, there's still roughly about 150 bills that are still sitting out there that the Assembly sent to us on their last day. And so at some point, I believe the Senate will come back. It's just a matter of when. We did pass a bipartisan bill, which had almost unanimous support in both houses, that helped us leverage the funds that were coming down from the CARES Act that was passed by Congress and signed into law by President Trump. Moving forward, I don't know if there's been many discussions as it relates to next steps, but again, we have to be flexible. I do believe we have to have conversations moving forward, and that's going to include having the administration come in and sit down with legislative leadership to talk about what needs to be done when it relates to K-12 education this fall, the UW system. What do we do if there are flare-ups this fall, if there's a second wave of COVID-19 outburst? And then also, what do we do for things like sporting events? Obviously, we have a number of sports teams here in the state, and are we going to allow packed stadiums or not? So those are some of the things that are still out there that need to get addressed. And I think moving forward, we have to be willing to work with the administration to develop some sort of strategy and some sort of ideas to put forward and as potential legislation.
And just an update on that, the legislature has not taken votes since our interview with Senator Teston, has no firm plans to vote in the near future, though some Republicans are calling for a vote to end the governor's statewide mask mandate. Let's bring in Susie now in Janesville with an idea. Hi, Susie.
Hi, Susie. I understand that this is more towards politics and things like this, and I was just waiting for the day you guys did this. I just got off the phone with one of my friends, and we were talking about how everybody's panicking because our kids aren't in school and stuff. But we went through this during polio, and the kids were just fine, and we were talking about how it is an opportunity that eventually maybe our great-grandchildren will be doing virtual school anyways, that we're just moving it forward and not to panic so much, that there's things that you could take your kids and mentor other people to find out, like in 6th and 7th grade, what they really want to do in life. But another thing that struck us is they call this the pandemic, but there's a hidden pandemic out there that nobody's talking about. And I've just had 3 friends whose lives have been ruined because they found out that their marriages are ruined with men going out and getting on the internet and having sex with men, and how that's the pandemic that nobody's talking about.
So looking at relationships then in the pandemic, Susie, thank you so much for your call. Let's bring in Bruce now in Eau Claire. Hi, Bruce.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'd really love to hear a program on legislative redistricting. It's kind of an update, perhaps, on the governor's council or commission to explore the possibility of setting up an Iowa-style, setting up a commission to do an Iowa-style redistricting map, an update on that, and also perhaps an update on the Fair Maps pledge that all legislative candidates are being asked to sign. How's that going?
All right, Bruce, are looking for a maps conversation, redistricting conversation, and we will definitely write that one down. Bruce, thank you so much for calling in. This hour is dedicated to you and what you want to bring to the morning show. It's caller only, ideas rich. Maybe you have questions you want to explore, stories or experiences you wish to share with fellow Wisconsinites. We're pulling clips from politics shows this summer. What should the morning show cover this fall and before the November election? What topics and issues matter the most to you? What do you want to hear about in government? Is it about maps, redistricting? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org with your ideas. We had Republican Representative Adam Nealon of Pewaukee, vice chair of the legislature's Rules Committee, which could play an influential role in reviewing orders by the governor's administration. And last month, mid-July, we talked about his view that wearing masks should be a personal choice.
In terms of wearing masks, overall, yes, it is a personal choice. I mean, there are situations where certainly masks would be effective. If you're in a situation where you can't socially distance, if you're inside and talking to somebody face-to-face, then yeah, to limit spread, then it would be important to wear a mask. You know, but I don't think that all situations are created equally, and that, you know, there are situations where it doesn't make sense to wear masks. There are certain people that have health limitations that aren't able to wear masks. So I think we need to understand that there are situations where it makes a lot of sense, and there are situations where it does not. You know, you look at certain situations where somebody is out walking their dog wearing a mask. I don't understand that, quite frankly. You know, I don't understand why the government would require somebody outside that is not, you know, within 6 feet of somebody to have to wear a mask to leave their house. You know, so I think it should be decided on a case-by-case basis, you know, and that when you are indoors talking to someone face-to-face, it makes a lot of sense. And in a lot of other situations, you know, 99% of the situations you're in your daily life, a mask shouldn't be required.
That was Representative Adam Nealon, among the Republicans calling for the legislature to overturn the governor's statewide mask mandate. Let's bring in another call now. Chris in Port Wing. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I wanted to bring up gerrymandering, but I do want to respond to Mr. Nealon's kind of wild idea that it's a personal choice. You know, we require people to wear pants when they go in public. And, you know, most people don't object. It's not a firefight over whether or not we should wear pants or skirts, something covering our lower half. Well, wearing a mask is very much the same thing, only it's kind of more important now that we have a wildly contagious virus in the community. Anyway, that's what I think about that. Let's wear pants, let's wear masks. Now, what I wanted to talk about was computerized gerrymandering. I don't think we've had enough coverage on this subject, and when the last redistricting happened with the state of Wisconsin, the people in charge of the legislature at the time, the Republican parties, used a new form of gerrymandering that used computerized models as to exactly from the voter rolls, which are public information, who was where. And they drew these amazingly detailed redistricting lines that basically assured that the minority party, which is Republicans, will stay in power. And if you looked at the last election, when we got a Democratic governor on a statewide election and still have the legislature and the Senate run by Republicans, we're being run by a minority because of computerized gerrymandering. And you should also look at the statewide county by county movement to have redistricting done by a nonpartisan board. Bayfield County just passed it. Many counties are passing this. It's part of the movement to have our redistricting done honestly and fairly to represent the public.
Chris, thank you so much for those contributions. Two votes now to look at the process in which congressional and state legislative district boundaries are drawn. Chris there in Port Wing wanting to look at the computerization of that. Bring your ideas for future shows. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We are recapping the summer on The Morning Show, inviting your ideas for future segments. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss all sorts of political news here. Campaigns, economy, farm bankruptcies, broadband, school funding, road repairs, environmental regulations, and of course, public health crises like the one before us now, the coronavirus pandemic. What topics are your highest priority for the program? Do you listen for conversations about elections, about health or education, something else? What is important to you? Join in on this caller only. We're at 800-642-1234. Email your show ideas and the topics that you want to know more about to ideas@WPR.org. Well, let's hear another idea. Cole is joining us from Sun Prairie. Hi, Cole. Hey, Cole, can you hear us? Yeah.
Yeah. So a political topic that you guys could share would be to have more discussion about elections at the local level. So we obviously hear a lot about our federal elections for the president and Congress members, but I don't think enough people know about elections that are held for offices, you know, citywide, countywide, or even some of the more obscure statewide elections. And oftentimes those are more important than the federal elections, or at least affect us more greatly. So it'd be nice to have a program or a discussion maybe once a week for a while about some of those offices that we don't know a lot about.
Yeah, if you hear someone at very much a local level, I'm thinking maybe a school board representative, for instance, but it's not in your area, would you still be interested?
I think maybe if you geared it more towards not about a specific race, but mm-hmm. more so towards talking about how there are school board elections and what impact those have on your community, because, you know, most communities have school boards, as far as I know, and elect those people. So I think more of an educational discussion about what the common elections like that are would be more valuable than talking about the actual race itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because by the time the race comes around, you're just talking about the candidate, and somebody might not really understand, well, what does that office even do, or what is that position even for? So having that talk about those positions before elections even happen, I think would go a long way towards educating people about what to pay attention to when the elections come up and why they're important to them.
Thank you so much for those insights, Cole. Appreciate it. Let's bring in Jack now in Caledonia. Hi, Jack.
Hi, I'd like to know the viewers' thoughts and your thoughts, too, with the Barr investigation into the Obama administration's spying of Carter Page and the subsequent Russian collusion issues with Donald Trump. If President Trump is not reelected, do they want the investigation to continue?
Okay. So you
because
want...
Because chances are if President Trump is not elected, this will never come up again.
So you want a show that looks into the Russia investigation, the origins of, and more on Attorney General William Barr?
Well, not necessarily.
Okay.
More or less, do people, you know, do the American people want the investigation to continue even if President Bush is not reelected? I mean, will they push their Democratic leaders to say, hey, we still have to find out about this, instead of just taking all the information that's been gathered and put it in a file and close the door because a Democrat is in charge instead of a Republican?
Okay, so the Russia investigation, more on that probe. Jack, thank you so much. This hour we're revisiting politics this summer. We're asking your thoughts on what the Morning Show should cover this fall. It's a caller-only hour, gathering up all your show ideas, topics you think that we haven't covered enough. What topics or issues are important to you? What politics show grabbed your attention? What issues do you want to discuss with your neighbors and your community? And as a state at our virtual kitchen table, if you will, here on the morning show. Be part of this caller-only hour. It's 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Kara now in Milwaukee. Hi, Kara.
Hi. One thing that I really haven't heard a lot about is infrastructure and how the politicians that are running right now are going to deal with infrastructure, and especially during the pandemic in like an urban setting, how kids are going to get to school without having public transportation that's at full capacity, and how we're going to deal with that.
So infrastructure, you mean there a more conversation about public transportation and
both,
how we operate
public transportation and infrastructure and everything that kind of goes together with that.
Yeah. How would you characterize your interest in knowing like how road projects are coming together in the Milwaukee area?
I'm actually a student in construction at the Milwaukee School of Engineering, so I kind of keep up with that kind of stuff, and
yeah.
It's something that we discuss a lot as new construction students and new people that are going into construction, and how long some things are taking and how much money it takes to actually do these projects that aren't really getting the funding that they need because our funds are going to other places in, you know, military and policing and things like that.
The pandemic,
so
yeah,
that,
coronavirus.
Yeah, in the pandemic, of course. But just how some experts think that our infrastructure and our public transportation will be affected by the current pandemic right now, I think would be a good topic to talk about.
There is a conversation coming up Tuesday here on the morning show at 6, and we're going to be talking about highways and their design, which also might pique your interest. Thank you so much for contributing.
Yeah, of course. Thank you, Kate.
Let's bring in Anne now in Campbellsport. Hi, Anne.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I am interested in more discussion on the effects of climate change. When Scott Walker was in office, he did so much to diminish any of those efforts. He removed the words climate change from the DNR website. He promoted development of wetlands, a lot of things that didn't help our Wisconsin environment. So I would like to know what the current administration is doing to promote and discuss more awareness of the effects of climate change.
Okay, and climate change is a pretty big umbrella, but you're looking specifically on what the Evers administration is doing to address it?
Yeah, I mean, we took so many steps backwards under Walker, and I want to know, are those things being corrected? And just exactly what's being done, this is a huge, huge issue, and I think we need to move as swiftly as possible on it.
Anne, thank you so much for that contribution, that idea. Let's bring in Dennis now in Lafarge. Hi, Dennis.
Hi there. Say, I'm an independent voter, and I voted for Trump. Okay. But I feel like recently, especially in the state of Wisconsin legislature, but federally as well, that the Republican Party has decided that the party is more important than democracy. And I got three examples that are really clear. One of them is lame duck legislation. The voters vote their will, and the legislature in Wisconsin changed all that after they were voted out. I don't agree with that. Voter suppression is also another issue, as well as gerrymandering. Could the guest please comment on all three?
Dennis, thank you for those show ideas. I'm writing them down as we speak, and we have heard about, you're the third person who has brought up wanting to have more conversations about maps and redrawing maps, redistricting. So Dennis, thank you so much. Let's bring in Brett now in Minocqua with ideas. Hi, Brett.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I was kind of wondering if you'd have a discussion on mask wearing in relation to the no shirt, no shoes, no service that's been going on for 60, 70 years.
So you want more discussion around mask wearing, and in terms of what you want to see out of government and a mandate, what would that conversation be like?
Well, you know, we've been complying with no shirt, no shoes, no service for many years. Masks could be related to the same type of thing.
I see. So you're wanting to have more conversations about mask wearing and what elected officials may want to do in the future on it, and how you relate it to, some of the basic things in life.
Yep, exactly. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Brett, for that contribution. We have a caller-only hour going on right now. We're spending the hour listening back to some of our politics shows this summer and listening to you, gathering your ideas for future shows next week, next month, beyond. What do you think should be getting more attention in politics? What issues do you think we should be asking lawmakers or other Wisconsin authorities? Who do you want to hear from here in Wisconsin, around the country, around the world? We'll take down your ideas right now. Join in on this caller-only hour. It's 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back, hopefully hear more from your ideas right after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're talking politics all hour long. Just a quick plug to check out WPR's Politics Podcast if you haven't. It's hosted by John K. Wilson, Laurel White, and Sean Johnson. Search for WPR Politics on your podcast app. Also, we have a new website dedicated to politics. You can find it at WPR.org/politics. And right now we're discussing whatever you want to talk about in politics. It's a caller-only edition of the morning show. We're gathering your suggestions for future programs and segments. Join in 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Brianne now in Sun Prairie. Hi, Brianne. What's your idea?
Hi. I would love to hear more about the role of racism in politics, especially as Kamala Harris has joined the ticket. And after hearing the experiences of friends and colleagues who are people of color who have experienced significant racism in both local and state elections.
So race in politics. Brianne, thank you so much for that suggestion. Now let's bring in Lynn in Pulaski. Hi, Lynn.
Good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
And my suggestion, as somebody who's really disappointed in the fact that our only two choices for president are 70-year-old white guys, I would love to hear more about third parties, especially in Wisconsin, where they are, how they got started, and how we can encourage people to run, especially down ticket, as third party candidates.
Third parties 101, where they've been and where they're headed. Lynn, thank you so much for that. Let's bring in Ron now in Manitowoc. Hi, Ron.
Good morning. Thanks. I'm concerned about the alcohol problem in this state and the refusal for the two worthless parties members to deal with this problem.
And so you're looking for how the parties will address alcoholism?
Well, we have the second lowest beer tax in the country, and we've never raised it. And yet the alcohol problem, according to Gannett's article, maybe 2-3 years ago, they did a number of articles on it. It's over $1 billion cost to the state. And the people who are using the alcohol are not paying that fee to reimburse the taxpayers for the costs involved.
So looking more closely at tracing the cost of alcohol in our state and the taxing of it. Ron, thank you for that suggestion. Let's bring in Logan now in Green Bay. Hi, Logan.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay. What I'm interested in knowing is whether the charges against President Trump would be brought after he leaves office. For instance, all the firings and use of public money for his prostitution.
So more closely at what charges are happening against President Trump and what would happen when as those charges would follow him, regardless of what happens in November. Logan, thank you for your suggestion. You know, after protests over the killings of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and other people of color, we asked Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Boss about his position on banning chokeholds and no-knock search warrants.
I support the idea of banning chokeholds. I've already talked to the folks who've gone through the academy. That's another one of those where if he had spoken to the people who actually run the department, they actually don't teach that in the police academy. They haven't for quite some time. So certainly that's an easy one to do. I do not support getting rid of no-knock search warrants. I certainly think that we need to ensure that they are used in a way that guarantees the safety of those who are going in. But if you're using a no-knock warrant, usually that's because it has to have special permission from a judge. But let's assume you're going into a drug house where they are armed, protecting $1 million worth of illegal narcotics. You certainly don't want to give them notice right before you go in to arm themselves. So I think there's got to be limited use of it. And I think in Wisconsin that already occurs.
So that was Assembly Speaker Robin Voss on our show earlier this summer. We are revisiting some of our politics shows this summer and want to know from you, what should the morning show cover this fall in politics? This is a caller-only hour, gathering up all your show ideas, topics you think should use more exposure, use more time and attention. We're at 800-642-1234 to share your ideas. Let's bring in Jess now in Middleton. Hi, Jess.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm curious, what year might it be when the good people of Wisconsin are able to go buy a beer at the convenience store after 9 p.m. and get out from under the grip of the Tavern League? As all the other states in the upper Midwest don't have these kinds of laws, we've just accepted it, and it's how it's the tradition here, and it's bogus.
You would like
to
hear?
I want to go buy a beer. I should go buy a beer 10 p.m., 11 p.m. if I want at a gas station without having to be directed to a tavern or a bar.
You would like to hear more from the Tavern League on positions and those issues.
If someone challenged their position and tell them that, you know, they can't unilaterally lay down the law as far as when grown people can go buy, you know, if you're in Iowa or Minnesota or Illinois, you go buy a beer when you want at 10 p.m. at a gas station. They don't have the same strong arm big business tactics that the Tavern League here does, and it doesn't seem to ever get challenged.
Jess, thank you for that. Another suggestion earlier about a conversation more about alcohol and taxation and the ramifications of government in alcohol. Emily Amundson is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Children and Families, and as schools were debating their plans for the fall, we talked about lessons from child care providers that stayed open throughout the pandemic.
I think there are a lot of emerging best practices. I think first and foremost, obviously, the health and sanitation protocols that frankly are part of the DNA of our early education professionals. You know, that's part of what they learn in their programs is how to make sure that we're mitigating, you know, risk in terms of just the common cold. So I think some of that DNA kicked in, you know, obviously early. And so it's the hand washing protocols. It's the, you know, it's the sanitizing of tabletops. But it's also things like keeping ratios very small, keeping one adult with the same group of kids, limiting the footprint of any other adults coming in and out of the building, and even thinking about different entrances and exits into the building for different classrooms. These were all things that were new protocols, new terrain that early education professionals had to plow. And again, I think schools can learn a lot from those protocols. I think if there's one thing that I would leave as a takeaway from early education, it's the ratios. It's the small contained environments and not a lot of movement between shared spaces that has been a real success story coming out of early education centers.
That was the voice of Secretary of Wisconsin Department of Children and Families, Emily Amundson, a conversation we had earlier this summer as we explore your ideas for future politics conversations. Where we go from here, let's bring in Pat now in Milwaukee. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
Hi.
I believe a good topic would be election law. There's a lot of confusion swirling around it, and people don't realize that elections have really been quite safe over the years. And they're really threatened by how much the law changes and how often they change and right up to the election. So there's so much confusion. We make it very hard for our election workers to actually know what they're supposed to do. And then we also make it hard for the people to know what the law is when they enter the polling places. So it's kind of another, we're asking for corruption and we're asking for mistakes to happen.
Would you like to hear more from the Wisconsin Elections Commission on election law, or where specifically in government would you be interested in?
Well, sure. And I'd like to look at the, people need to comment on, you know, maybe we need to limit the time frame that election laws can be changed. You know, you can't have a lawsuit on the eve of the election, for instance, or maybe a week before the election. I mean, people need to know that these things can occur, and then they just create more confusion. I mean, I think the last case of pseudo election fraud was a Republican clerk in Waukesha, but I don't really know that, right?
Well, Pat, thank you.
There were some issues swirling around there.
Thank you for bringing that to the table, Pat, in Milwaukee. We also heard from another Pat in Wauwatosa, called, couldn't stay with us. Pat would like to hear more about government surveillance and what data the government is collecting on people. Leslie from Gale called in, couldn't stay. Leslie wants to know more about the Trump administration's plans for Obamacare. And Leslie also wants to know about the differences in healthcare plans for the presidential candidates. As we go into this caller only, taking your suggestions about future programming and specifically around elections and government, let's bring in Jack now in Williams Bay. Hi, Jack.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I was calling, my son lives in Ireland, and he was telling me how they vote there. And their ballots are interesting because they're they do a thing called ranked voting, where you get a fairly large number of candidates on one ballot. And what you do is you don't just vote for one. You rank them from, let's say, 0 to 10. And then once you do that and the other millions of people voting, they take all those numbers together. And that way they almost never wind up with a like a polarizing figure, and there's no reward for being polarizing. You're rewarded for not being extreme,
so
not attacking other people.
What I'm hearing is more of a primer on ranked voting, where it's happening, where it works, and what the future might hold for it.
Yeah, and how it could take place.
Okay.
And I hear Maine is giving it a try.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, Jack, thank you so much for that suggestion. We're collecting future show ideas from you this hour and rewinding on some of our conversations from politics with our guests over the summer here on The Morning Show. How much do you care about national politics versus state politics? Which politics shows did you enjoy this summer? Who would you like to bring back for another conversation? Join in, 800-642-1234. Back in a moment, maybe hear from you on the Ideas Network. We are back with more conversation about The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, thanks for being here. You know, we bring on about 1,200 guests each year on the show, but this hour is about you and your ideas for future politics and government conversations, future guest ideas. We'll write them all down. Let's get another one here. Scott in Green Bay. Hi, Scott. What's your idea?
Hello. Yes, thank you for taking my call. I was interested in hearing some guests, a couple of historians talking about U.S. history from maybe another perspective. One was Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz. She wrote an Indigenous People's History of the United States. The other one is Margaret Kimberly. She wrote a book, Prejudential, Black America and the Presidents. In that book, has 45 chapters, one for each president. Those two authors, I think, would be great. Also, maybe somebody talking about the history of police, and that'd be it.
Scott, thank you so much. So a pair of author interviews and also the history of policing there. Some thank you so much for those ideas. Chris now in Milwaukee. Hi, Chris.
Good morning. I'm wondering if maybe we could get somebody from the Economic Policy Institute to talk about taxes, maybe the history, like back in the 50s, the very high taxes on the upper income brackets leading to business money being put into R&D and salaries versus where they're just given to the CEOs now. What kind of taxes and the percentage of taxes that people actually pay, because everybody talks about income taxes, but regular people pay sales taxes and property taxes. And maybe you could do a sidebar about the universal basic income.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Chris. History of taxing, where tax dollars go, with help from the Economic Policy Institute as our guide. So, Chris, thank you so much. Barbara now in Boscobel. Hi, Barbara.
Hi. My concern is the U.S. postal system, and it's a more immediate concern because my husband is a veteran and gets his medications, and he's a cancer survivor. He gets his medical supplies through the mail. And Trump is doing everything he can to destroy the post office, and that will kill my husband.
So post office is, is not just delivering packages, but delivering very important medicine for your family.
Exactly. And I want to know what can be done now, because we can't wait until the election for something to be done.
Barbara, thank you so much for that idea to do a segment on the post office and the future of post office funding. John from Fall Creek called in, couldn't stay with us. John wants to know about paying for Social Security and says if the millionaires paid more, there would be no problem funding Social Security. We, in mid-July, spoke with Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson on whether Congress should approve more economic relief, and he pushed against another round of stimulus checks.
Well, I wasn't a fan. I wasn't supportive, really, of the $1,200 payment initially. We need to target the financial support to those people that truly need it, to those businesses that we want to be able to survive so they can reopen and rehire once COVID passes. The problem with the shotgun approach we used is we just flooded hundreds of billions of dollars into the economy. This is not a classic type of recession. This is something caused by a virus, and we need to be smarter in terms of how we're providing the financial assistance, which we all want to provide. We are trying to be as inclusive as possible to provide those employees that were put out of work because of COVID, as well as those businesses, the financial aid they need to survive. But we did it across the board, and we do not have an unlimited checking account. We authorized $2.9 trillion. And just to put that in perspective, many economists, when we started into this COVID, these shutdowns, about 30% of our economy was shut down. $2.9 trillion is about 5 months worth of total replacement costs of 30% of our economy. We've allocated, authorized a massive amount of money. We just didn't do it in a very targeted fashion. So my suggestion moving forward, we haven't spent about $1.2 to $1.3 trillion of that $2.9 trillion. So rather than authorize more spending, what we ought to do is take a look at what we've done, what worked, what didn't work, what can be fixed, what can be targeted better, and repurpose and redirect the $1.2, $1.3 trillion that still hasn't even been obligated, much less spent.
U.S. Senator Ron Johnson there, who we check in regularly on our show, and that was in mid-July when we were talking with him. Let's bring in Jerry now in Campbellsport. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
So two election-related ideas. And I know a couple people have talked about things along these lines, but one is, what does the future of voting look like, especially as we've seen concerns with COVID and, mail-in voting and absentee stuff, and do we continue along the traditional mail-in, absentee, or in-person, or do we come out with a new system and the concerns that brings? The other is a little bit better visibility and how to make that more visibility on things such as local elections, where for a lot of people, myself included, it tends to sneak up on you. So by the time you're aware it happened or happens, it's either the day before or the day of, and you don't have any substantial information on who's running and those sorts of issues.
Jerry, thank you so much. I heard two suggestions here, future of voting amid the pandemic and more of a snapshot on local elections, more ability to raise the profile on local elections. Jerry, thanks. Let's bring in suggestions from Cheryl joining us from Eau Claire. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi there. I have a question about the Electoral College. Does my actual vote for president count, or is it the super candidate or candidates of the Electoral College for my state? I don't see the point of the Electoral College anymore.
All right, so more of a tutorial on the Electoral College and how it is involved in the process of electing a president. Cheryl, thank you so much for that suggestion. We are in our final minutes here of our Caller Only Hour, taking your ideas, your suggestions on what politics conversations we should have this fall. Let's bring in Margie now in Milwaukee. Hi, Margie.
Hi. I'm going to say that President Trump just announced that if he is reelected, he will abolish the payroll tax, which will essentially completely cut Social Security, because that's what Social Security comes from. So they've been talking for years about trying to restructure it and minimize it and everything. And he's just boldly said, well, he's just going to stop the payroll tax. And that's huge. So that needs to be addressed really quickly.
And so you're looking for a conversation about payroll taxes and the future of payroll taxes.
Immediately, in terms of President Trump's talking about just arbitrarily just gutting it. And can he do that?
Margie, thank you for bringing that idea, that to the conversation. We have an email here from Gary in Iron River, would like to hear details on how governmental expenditures are going to be paid for in terms of budgeting and how the governments will be budgeting in 2021. Certainly, that is going to be quite a concern amid the pandemic, as so many dollars have been put toward helping to combat the coronavirus and what that means for communities of all sizes. As we have done this hour, taking all of your ideas, let's quickly go to Sherry in Madison. Hi, Sherry.
Hi. Yeah, I would like to know how we can hold our politicians accountable other than demonstrations or voting them out or just writing a letter. You know, it seems like these things either take so much effort or are so ineffective. And I'd like some good ideas for ways that might be more effective to reach our politicians and let them know what we really need and want, and how their decisions are affecting us.
Sherry, thank you for that on accountability. And thank you so much for all of your ideas for the future of the morning show, politics and government conversations. Just ahead, stay with us. It's On Point. It's Week in the News. Kamala Harris on the Democratic presidential ticket. Congress stalled over a stimulus package. All that and more in the weekly news roundup. That's On Point. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show with you, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.